Pierce had seen Springheel Jack dead after being thrown from the train, but he had regarded this with no sense of inevitability as the outcome of some inexorable physical laws. At this time, there was only a vague notion that to be thrown from a speeding train was hazardous, and somewhat more hazardous if the train was moving rapidly. But the nature of the hazard was thought to lie in the precise manner of a person's fall. A lucky man could pick himself up with a few scrapes, while an unlucky man would break his neck on impact. In short, a fall from a train was regarded pretty much like a fall from a horse. Some were worse than others, and that was that. Indeed, during the early history of railways, there had been a sort of daredevil sport called carriage hopping, favoured by the kind of young men who later scaled public buildings and engaged in other madcap escapades. University students were particularly prone to these amusements. Carriage hopping consisted of leaping from a moving railway carriage to the ground. Although government officials condemned the practice and railway officials flatly forbade it, carriage hopping enjoyed a brief vogue from 1830 to 1835. Most hoppers suffered nothing more serious than a few bruises, or at worst, a broken bone. The fad eventually lost popularity, but the memory of it bolstered the public's belief that a fall from a train was not necessarily lethal. In fact, during the 1830s, most trains averaged 25 miles an hour. But by 1850, when the speed of trains had doubled, the consequences of a fall were quite different, and out of all proportion to a fall at slower speeds. Yet this was not understood, as Pierce's testimony indicates. The prosecutor asked, "Did you take any manner of precaution against the danger of a fall?"
"I did," Pierce said, "and it caused me no little discomfort. Beneath my ordinary external garb, I wore two pairs of heavy cotton undergarments, which had the effect of making me unpleasantly heated. Yet I felt these protective measures necessary." Thus, wholly unprepared and entirely miscalculating the effects of the physical principles involved, Edward Pierce slung a coil of rope over his shoulder, opened the compartment door, and clambered up onto the roof of the moving carriage. His only true protection, and the source of his audacity, lay in his complete misunderstanding of the danger he faced. The wind struck him like an enormous fist, screaming about his ears, stinging his eyes, filling his mouth and tugging at his cheeks, burning his skin. He had not removed his long frock coat, and the garment now flapped about him, whipping his legs so fiercely that it was painful. For a few moments he was totally disoriented by the unexpected fury of the shrieking air that passed him. He crouched, clutching the wooden surface of the coach, and paused to get his bearings. He found he could hardly look forward at all because of the streaking particles of soot blown back from the engine. Indeed, he was rapidly covered with fine black film on his hands and face and clothing.